Hello, everyone out there in the podcast world. Welcome back for a special episode of Between the Reels. This is Casey.
And this is Devin.
And with us today, we have a special guest panelist. This here is Tim.
I don't know about special, but I am Tim.
We're glad to have you either way, so.
Yes, and believe me, very special. You'll learn as you hear him speak.
Wait, what kind of special?
Whatever way you think works best. We have teased this over the past two podcasts, and we're excited to finally be able to sit down and do it together. Well, this is going to be a special podcast on The Man of Steel and the Justice League. We're going to cover the trailer for The Man of Steel that just came out, all the rumors flying around The Man of Steel and the Justice League. So sit back, relax, and get ready for the ride of a lifetime.
Yeah, and just the reason we thought we'd have three people, or at least Tim as a special guest as well, is because I think each of us represent a different viewpoint on this. And I'm the gushing fanboy who wet my pants and almost cried when I saw the trailer. Casey, what do you represent?
I am kind of in the middle. I used to not like Superman. He has recently grown on me, so I'm stuck somewhere in this love-hate relationship.
And then Tim?
I have always been a non-super fan. And
which just devastates me.
But now, after seeing the trailer, I am slightly curious, or slightly more curious. So, I mean, it did a little bit for me, I guess.
Yeah. So I think it's great, because then it isn't just three people having one viewpoint or whatnot. I think we get different takes on what this means to hopefully broadens to different listeners. Hopefully we can fairly represent, one of us fairly represents how you feel about this, and maybe either sway you one way or whatnot. So
yes, and if we do not express your point of view, look right down 6 inches from where you are now to the comment section. Leave us a comment. Let us know what you think, how you feel about it,
and how wrong we were.
That's right. There's plenty of wrong to go around in this group.
Well, I think let's start off then. So first, obviously, we want to talk about, and there has been so much news that's been spread the last couple of months, but we've kind of pulled it off now because we wanted to wait until this latest trailer was released with The Hobbit. And I'm glad we did because it obviously back in July, even though there was a Comic-Con trailer, it was only for those who were at Comic-Con. Things that were leaked were very blurry and whatnot.
Yes.
Then, of course, The Dark Knight Rises had a very, very small trailer. Basically, you know, just the only glimpse you got of Superman was him flying
yeah, just a 30-second teaser.
Mm-hmm. With some monologue either of, Jor-El, which his comments coming straight from All-Star Superman, which Grant Morrison's work, or from Jonathan Kent. Basically, both kind of showing who Superman represents, according to his different fathers, I guess you could say. Now, this most recent trailer, you get a much more detailed of what we're going to basically expect of this. So first off, I guess the first thing is we definitely kind of see that this is going to be an origin story. This isn't going to be starting off, you know, with him mid-Superman. I think we're definitely going to explore a lot of his upbringing.
Yeah, now we don't have a runtime, and we don't know exactly how the movie's going to be broken up, but it looks like, judging from the trailer, much like Batman Begins, this is going to be a good first half of the movie. Him growing up, figuring out who he is before even donning the tights, so to speak. And much like I said, Batman Begins.
Yeah. Which I'm actually personally extremely excited about this because my favorite stories of Superman or his origin stories, you think of Birthright, Secret Origin, the New 52 with Grant Morrison's work with Action Comics.
That was really good.
And even Superman Earth 1, which I know it got panned by critics, but I personally love it because I think, unlike other origin stories, I don't think they're really necessary in some situations. I think other characters you can really, like with Tim Burns' Batman.
Yeah, there was no origin, yet it worked. He was able to make it flow, and you were able to figure out the history.
Exactly. And with X-Men, Bryan Singer's X-Men, they just started off with Professor Xavier and X-Men already being established. And it works really well, but I think with Superman, to really understand his meaning as a character, you really have to go through his origin. And I'm really excited with the fact that they're going to show Clark Kent struggling with him getting his powers. And again, you have him going to the schoolroom and the closet and his mom talking to him, as well as him saving the school bus and whatnot and just trying to figure things out.
Well, and this is one of the things that actually threw me off about the trailer.
Yeah, I'm glad you talked about that because I was going to ask you.
Because if you watch Smallville, I mean, it took 10 seasons for him to figure out all his powers and become Superman. It was a process. The Richard Donner Superman, it kind of appeared to be a process. As puberty hit, different powers developed. And here it almost seems to be more instantaneous, more sudden. You know, at least that's the impression that I got. He's hiding in the closet because all his powers are freaking out. He can hear people. His senses are in overdrive. So I think it'll be interesting to see how that plays as opposed to making it the more drawn-out process, and maybe it'll be a combination of the two. Because
This was your concern. I remember you saying that you thought it was too heavy-handed. Now, yes. What did you mean by that?
Like that particular sequence where you have Martha Kent talking to him in the closet. Now, I'm sure in context, when you have the whole story together, it'll probably play better. But as far as just in the trailer, it just seems very heavy, very Lifetime movie.
Like Oxygen Network?
Exactly. You know, I mean, it was a little rough for me, just not in context. It was just, like I said, it was very heavy, very thick.
See, when I saw that, I was sold. But anyway, said Tim.
Well, I wonder, I mean, because that compares a lot to the Iron Man 3 trailers that have been coming out lately, too. I mean, so that's the current upcoming Marvel movie, and it has, like, very similar tone. Really, I think heavy-handed is a good word to describe both of them. So it's interesting how maybe, I mean, like, you know, Iron Man 3 is kind of, you know, riding the emotions of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you know, and it has this flow, and maybe Superman is trying to, like, kind of, you know, play off the same feelings, I don't know.
Yeah, but to me, they don't have that good grace built up yet. They don't have that emotion from a cinematic universe to be able to play through. Plus, to me, in the Iron Man 3 trailer, it was used to progress the story and didn't seem quite as disjointed as the rest of it. But that was just me.
All right, so basically then, so it seems like there's just this concern that Superman hasn't established itself yet to become what Iron Man 3 or the other, or like The Empire Strikes Back, to go this little, you say, darker realm or heavy-handed.
Yeah. Like I said, in the context of the whole story, I'm sure it'll be smoothed out where it's not going to be, you know, out of context, it just felt heavy. But I'm sure once put in the flow of the story, it won't be quite as hard to believe, as much to chew off.
Mm-hmm. So, Tim, what do you think then? Do you think it's good that they're doing this, or?
Well,
or is that what piqued your interest, or?
Okay, well, so my issue with Superman has always been, lack of what I consider to be lack of creativity and lack of interesting motivations and tension and everything. You know, storytelling.
Because he can do basically anything anytime he wants.
Yeah,
he's all
yeah.
powerful.
And I mean, you just kind of imagine that original brainstorming session where they created him, and just be like, okay, let's give him all the powers in the world. And
laser eyes.
Oh wait, guys, we need a weakness. Green rocks.
Do a rare rock that somehow everyone can get a hold of.
So that's always kind of been my issue, and the thing that kind of piqued my interest here was it brought in, and I think people have tried to do this before with Superman 2, not Superman 2, but Superman.
As well.
Superman, but I don't think it's, at least from what I've seen, has it been successfully executed. Somehow turning him, you know, like bringing humanity and emotion and I don't know how to put it exactly, but like just real like personal struggle, I don't think has ever really happened in a Superman movie. But it appears, like at least in the trailer, that kind of paints it like that. But trailers can be really different than movies.
Last Airbender.
So you obviously did not watch Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman. Because I think that is going to be quintessential what Superman should be. It's an emotional struggle of love.
I see. Yeah.
Okay, maybe not, but...
another interesting thing. So I kind of made two comparisons in my mind as I was watching. You know, two things that just kind of came to me, like, you know, the immediate impressions I had watching the trailer. One was Iron Man 3, which I already... mentioned, but the other one was Gladiator, and like that came
especially because the music was from Gladiator.
From the music, was it actually in Gladiator? Like that song? Okay, because I knew I looked it up, and if like using my TuneWiki app, found that it was the same girl doing the vocals as in Gladiator. Mm-hmm. So, and that kind of made me like. I mean, that has to be pretty intentional. Whether I guess if the song is actually from it, I mean. Because that soundtrack is pretty iconic.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, the Gladiator one, people recognize it.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that has to have been intentional. They want you to think of the Gladiator when you think of Man of Steel. And that makes... And also, like, with some of the voiceover, you know, especially at the end, where he's talking about, like, whatever you grew up to be, you're going to change the world.
Yeah.
I mean, that's very Gladiator-esque. Mm-hmm. And,
well, even in the original teaser trailer, they had Lord of the Rings with Gandalf's death, quote-unquote death, in Fellowship of the Ring.
Right.
When they all walk out, you know, that you have that that really high, you know, the child doing the, what is it, contra alto or countertenor?
Yeah, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
You know, during that scene. And so and that's the thing, a lot of people complained about the fact that it reminded them of Gladiator, reminded them of Lord of the Rings. But I think it's true what you're saying, that it was intentional.
But yeah, it has to be. Mm-hmm. But the question is why, you know, what is the intent behind that, and whether it's going to, like, whether it'll live up to that, you know, connection, mm-hmm. whether this really, I don't know if it's worth comparing this to Gladiator or not.
Well, I think it definitely, either Gladiator or whatnot, but it still reminds me of just this epicness of Superman as a character. I mean, I don't know necessarily Gladiator, but I did see a lot of messianic themes that were kind of... I mean, the beginning scene when he's in the water, his arms are out like that, and very much of a, you know, Jesus Christ on the cross type segment, which, you know, a lot of people kind of talked about Superman being that messianic aspect. And so I wonder... So that's what kind of made me wonder, is if they're going to dive into that a little bit more through the movie, which I think there might be some semblances, but I think they are going to base more on the humanity aspect, as you said, of Superman.
So. Yeah, because that got hit pretty hard in Superman Returns, the whole messianic aspect, and since that did not play incredibly well, just the movie in general, I don't know if they'll take that same route
mm-hmm.
through it again.
But I do think it is interesting, though, the fact that we talk about humanity. I think it's really interesting that Nolan and Goyer and Snyder decided to make it, and this is something that Nolan's been very particular about, is it's not gritty, it's not realistic, it's relatable in terms of what would happen if someone like Superman in our world showed up one day, how would we react as a society? And you definitely think they're going to do that with the fact that, you know, showing him arrested is the first poster, you know, him being arrested. We have, of course, when he saves the bus as a young child, you have his dad saying, maybe you should have just let him die because I don't want you to get caught, you know, or anything like that. And so I think that's a very – which I'll talk a little bit about that later on. But I think it's a great angle they're going with, because what better way to make it relatable to us and make it resonate, or make it – what's the word I'm trying to think of? I would say just have some importance for us today, or reason why we should see it, in terms of makes us wonder what would happen if someone like Superman showed up, I guess.
Well, I think that's really interesting, because you can't really talk about humanity too much with Superman, because he's not human, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, what does it mean if you talk, you know, when we talk about, like, trying to relate to Superman or learn, you know, moral lessons from Superman, what does it even mean, because he's not even, you know, one of us? But if, like, if that's true, if the movie, and I think you're right, I think the trailer does kind of, like, make it look like that, but maybe, yeah, trying to turn the mirror, you know, on the mm-hmm. audience. And
so it's not necessarily us relating to Superman, but us relating to the characters around Superman of how they react, in a sense.
Yeah, if that's true, then I think that would be I agree. I think that would be fantastic.
Because if you look at a lot of the best Superman stories, it's not Superman versus a villain. It's the way the world interacts or relates to it. The thing that really turned my mind about Superman was the comic book Red Son,
mm-hmm.
which has Superman grow up in Soviet Russia instead of America, and just see how humanity progresses when he's here and when he's not. And that, for me, is what made it such a good story, because it was less about him as an individual and more about him as an influence on
everyone else around. Well, and that's why I love Secret Origins so much, because I feel like Luther's one of my favorite villains when he's done right. Because for me, Luther represents, he's the embodiment of human potential, in the sense of people like Superman keep us from truly reaching our potential, because we have so much hope in him, we don't progress as individuals. You know, he's not human, where Luther is represents kind of that that you know, basically the ability to, I don't know what I'm trying to say this, basically represents human potential and trying to break that mold of, I mean, you see about the Secret Origin, how he did all these great things for these people, and then when you have an outside force who's greater than us, how that curbs our potential or curbs our influence or humans' influence on each other or whatnot. And so it'd be interesting, the fact, though, I almost kind of hope they have Luther in the, I know they won't, but I wish they did have Luther in Man of Steel, because I think if they did a correct portrayal of him, I think would have been a great addition to the way they're taking Man of Steel.
Yeah, I wouldn't count him out. I think, you know, obviously he won't be the main villain, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's some sort of aspect involved in one form, fashion, or another.
Mm-hmm. Now, kind of talking about this, though, I guess the other question, too, is the fact that, talking about villains, is it looks like General Zod is going to be the main villain.
Yes.
And it was interesting, you talk about Gladiator. When I saw General Zod in the trailer, I immediately thought of Caesar Augustus. Or, you know, with his haircut and a little goatee, and which I thought was very fitting with the fact of Zod is a conqueror.
You know, when very he comes, different than
kneel
what
before
we see.
Zod, yeah. You know. So is that good? Do you think it's good that they are, that Zod is going to be the villain, that they are kind of doing a Superman 2?
Yes.
Okay.
I think putting someone who can match Superman punch for punch is going to be the way to go. I think if you made Lex Luthor the main villain, it was another mental battle. It just wouldn't have... It's not what people want to see at this point.
Mm-hmm. Which maybe that's why they should have him as a side thing. Maybe as one of the people who distrust Superman, or influences the society to distrust Superman.
Pulls some strings. We know the military's involved, so maybe he's involved in that aspect or another.
Interesting.
So it wouldn't be surprised if you see him, but having General Zod be the actual driving force as the villain, I think, is going to be... I think it's the only way you could really make it play and be different enough than everything else you've seen. Because even just judging by the trailer, the General Zod that you see in this trailer is very different than what we saw in Superman 2 or anything that I've read recently.
Which I really hope they do have a Neil Before Zod reference. So, which I guess you do see Superman fall on the ground in front of someone who looks like General Zod. So maybe it's their little kind of like cameo thing.
Their homage. And then he kisses him and he forgets everything.
So, Tim, what do you think?
I don't know. I mean, as a non-fanboy.
So General Zod, we'll update on who General Zod is.
Well, I kind of know, but you can go ahead.
Well, basically, General Zod in the comics is, he was a general on Krypton. Him and some others basically rebelled against Krypton, and Jor-El sentenced him, was one of the people who sentenced him to the Phantom Zone. And so I don't know if they'll do that in this book. But
no, because judging by the spaceships, just the way things appear to be playing out, I don't see how it would really jive with the whole Phantom Zone storyline.
So maybe he was out exploring or something like that. But anyway, so then what happens is when he comes to Earth, he basically tries to take control. I mean, he basically tries to fight Superman. He views Superman as a weak person because Superman, instead of the fact that he shows emotion to what Zod considers should be his subjects, that he's living among them and he's not one of them. That human beings are just kind of, you know, we're like worms or whatnot. We're so breakable, and that Superman should have taken control. And General Zod basically tries to, you know, like Last Son in the comic book that Donner actually helped write as well. He tries to bring down Superman, and rule the human race, basically make the human race the new Krypton. In a sense. And, you know, he has other people. I know, I think Mala is her name. I think she's actually going to be in the Man of Steel as well.
Okay.
So he's going to have a sidekick. But you guys can talk, but I can confirm exactly what name they're portraying her in this.
Well, that sounds good. Like you said, someone that can actually trade punches with Superman. And mostly because... I really hated Superman Returns.
Ouch.
As a movie. And I thought it was...
Is it because he was a deadbeat dad?
Well, there was lots of issues.
Well, and like I said, Luthor was a bad real estate agent. I mean, you know, that's not evil.
One of the biggest things is that there was almost no real struggle in that movie. I mean, there's nothing that really happens.
Laura, that's her name.
And
oh, sorry. Feyora. That's who it is, I think. Anyway, continue.
Well, I was just going to say there's nothing that really changed or happened as a result of the events in it. It was just, at least that's how it felt to me. Like, no, Superman didn't really have to overcome anything. And it was just kind of blah. So if there is some, you know, bring some of that into this, I think that would do a lot for the movie. And maybe this, you know, General Zod could be the vehicle for that kind of struggle and tension that I think the Superman story will probably need.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think also it just shows that, I mean, if you really, to make it epic, you got to have him have it, you know, go against his match, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Am I a better person than to have someone who has the same powers as General Zod, or as Superman? Especially for someone who has such a connection to Krypton with, you know, I mean, that'd be interesting to see if they have Jor-El as well, you know, that connection between Jor-El and General Zod playing to that. And so that's what I'm really curious about.
Well, and I think it's going to be important story-wise when you've got, you know, Superman, who when he shows up, judging by the trailer, it looks like people freak out. You know, the military's involved. He gets arrested. You know, a lot of distrust. So almost as they use it as a way to ingratiate himself with the people if he is taking on someone of equal strength, fighting for Earth against someone of equal power.
Mm-hmm. So, but no, I think, you know, basically again, you know, Zack Snyder said it's going to be a, you know, awesome movie, and Henry as well playing Superman says, you know, it's wickedly cool Superman, and so far I think the trailer's definitely shown that. And I do like the approach they're taking. I also love the fact that it looks like Superman's costume is not one that Mrs. Kent just sews together or anything like that.
But it's a pair of red Hanes on the outside of.
It's actually going to be Kryptonian. It looks like it's going to be Kryptonian armor, which, again, you look at Jor-El, Russell Crowe, you kind of see the Superman symbol.
It's kind of a textured chainmail sort of look and feel.
And said Grant Morrison's New 52, you know, we learned that basically Superman gets the Superman costume is Kryptonian armor that he gets from when Brainiac attacks. And so I'm really glad that they're going with that as well, because that's been my biggest complaint with Superman is his costume of just, if you're going to sew it together, it's just such a, like, we don't need the red underpants. I'm fine with it going, you know. Yeah. A lot of people are complaining about that, but I'm fine with no red underpants.
Yeah, and I mean, really, if you're going to fly fast enough to turn the Earth's orbit backwards, like, chances are some clothes would be flying off if these things don't have a legitimate reason for not being destroyed.
Well, that was the thing, was supposedly, I guess, she sewed it from the cloth that was in his ship when he came, but I'm fine with it just being the armor, you know.
So a needle and thread can pierce it, but
yeah. Well, they always talk about, like, Secret Origin. They always talk about how it was almost impossible for her to sew it together, but she was able to make it work. You know,
good old Ma Kent.
Yeah, exactly. So I just, I think instead looking at the pictures, I think the costume looks awesome. You know, I have no issues with it.
Any opinion from you, Tim?
Looks great.
Is what it is.
So,
I'm the gushing fanboy, so maybe that's me just excited.
It's no Iron Man armor, but it'll do.
Yeah. Well, it is kind of... I think it looks fine. I do think that, I mean, one thing I found a little bit interesting was that, and this is kind of, you know, just watching the trend of superhero movies. You know, originally we have these, like, you know, you go back to the 90s and whatever, you know, looking at the both comics and various animated series of things, and you always had really colorful, bright costumes. And then, you know, after 2000, it seems, with all the movies have had these really more like realistic, less colorful reimaginings of costumes. Now it seems like they're kind of like trying to keep some of that, but also go back to the color. You look at X-Men First Class when they started
putting the blue and the yellow.
The blue and the yellow, bringing it back when none of like the the other four X-Men movies since 2000 had any of that.
It was all like black leather.
Yeah. Exactly. And I guess Superman never really followed that trend at all, but I think it's kind of, it's weaving both those things together still, kind of like X-Men First Class did. The armor looks, I mean, it's not super bright, but it is a definite like blue and red, not like a scarlet and whatever. I mean, so I found that a little bit interesting.
The one thing I do wish they had on his cape was the yellow Superman sign. That's the one thing I love in the costume, especially with the Christopher Reeve Superman, was I wish they kept that, but can't have everything.
Take it or leave it.
Yeah.
I think it's fine without it.
So. But yeah, I think the main things, though, is to point out before, unless anyone else to say before we go on Justice League, is just, again, to make sure that, you know, this isn't a gritty Superman. This isn't a realistic Superman, said as Christopher Nolan said, you know, this is very much Zack's film. And he said, you know, David Goyer had the idea to make Superman relatable and relevant for his audience. And said he built on that. I think it's incredible what he's putting together. He's got a lot of finishing to do on that. So again, this isn't going to be The Dark Knight or The Dark Knight Rises or Batman Begins in terms of, you know, this gritty type of take on Superman. I think it just shows that it's like both of them. They're relatable to our world. Which said you watch The Avengers. I mean, you know, you got aliens flying around in terms of, you know, you got Stark flying out a window and when he crashes the window, his neck doesn't break. He's just fully awake and aware and flies away, you know. I mean, that is, I think there's a very different world. It's, you know, where you can escape to.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Avengers Marvel does. I think you can escape to their world, where this is bringing their world to us. And I think that's, I'm excited about that. I hope DC continues with that. So
yeah.
Well, I think that's an interesting point. But Marvel also has other, you know, ways of relating their audience to their characters. I mean,
in terms of the Marvel movies or the Marvel universe in general?
Marvel universe in general. Mm-hmm. DC, what you're saying is interesting. But all the DC superheroes are all kind of like unattainable, like people. You know, I mean, like. Nobody is really going to become Batman or Superman or whatever. But all the Marvel people, they're all, like, a lot of them are geniuses or genii, whatever the plural is there. But
I like that.
you
heard it first here, genii.
But they all have, like, clear, like personality flaws. And they're all, I mean, a lot of them start off as you know, regular people. And so
and then gain this... Like Peter Parker, I guess, gets bit by a spider or something.
Right. So while their world might be a little bit less believable and less realistic, the characters themselves are maybe more, you know, realistic.
But do you think that, because you look at what DC's in the movie-wise, not Green Lantern, but Man of Steel and Dark Knight, they try to make that more relatable aspect.
There was a Green Lantern movie? What?
Just like, kind of ignore it.
Yeah. But with the Marvel movies, I mean, they're still, you know, I feel like the Marvel movies are very much, you know, Captain America, Thor, and all that stuff. I very feel much as an escape into their world, if that makes sense. So,
I see. Yeah.
And I think if DC tries to mimic that. Which I guess let's move on to Justice League. Cause I think
that's a fair thing. So
because that's the question: is Justice League now? Should DC continue what they're doing with Man of Steel and Dark Knight Rises, or should they try and mimic what the Avengers does with making this huge universe? You know, that makes sense. Where, you know, this something that's totally that you escape to.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us in this special episode of Between the Reels. Come back next time for part two, where we discuss the Justice League.